You want kicking things out of orbit?
Oh my gosh!
How many minutes should not take over?
One of the greatest fighters.
John Jones beat every champion. Pretty much that.
Khabib gets his hands on McGregor's gonna be that night.
Let's get into it. And welcome to a special edition with Fight Night Picks. And hey, we are back this weekend, Matt. Really looking forward to a wild card that is coming at us this Saturday from the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. Matt, maybe you're a Lakers fan. Maybe you're a Clippers fan. Maybe you're a Kings fan in the NHL. There's not going to be any hockey or ice in that arena on that particular night, Matt, because we have Roy Jones Jr. taking on Mike Tyson in the main event of our boxing extravaganza, Matt. It is a very interesting card, like I said, coming up this weekend. And hey, if this is your first time with Fight Night Picks, we really appreciate you for tuning in. You can see it underneath me, MMA News and Analysis. We are MMA guys to the core, Matt. Oh, yeah. But our logo says otherwise, and we will represent this logo for this weekend's card. And again, maybe you are an MMA fan, and you're familiar with one of the fighters on this main card being Rashad Coulter, who's taking on a new opponent, so you're not going to want to miss that. But Matt, I'm really looking forward to this card. Huge name value in this one, of course, with the exhibition in our main event. No headgear required. We have, again, Mike Tyson taking on Roy Jones Jr. And as a bit of an aside, Matt, you were 6 years old the last time that Mike Tyson entered a ring, taking on Mr. McBride. How crazy is it that you're actually going to get the chance to see Mike Tyson fighting live and somewhat in person?
It's going to be weird. And same thing for Roy Jones Jr., because these were two names that by the time I'd started watching combat sports, you had already heard about all the great things that both guys had done. And not only kind of their rise to fame, but also kind of their downfalls too. So I've seen both guys' complete character arc, and now I'm coming back for the finale. So I basically started watching Game of Thrones at the last episode, I think, with this fight. But no, I'm still really excited. You're going to see two of the all-time great, and really two of the more famous boxers of all time doing it for one last time. So yeah, what is there not to be excited about?
It is a very entertaining card. There's going to be a frontline belt on the line in that main event. And again, hey, 12-ounce gloves, no headgear. So we'll see what happens in that one. I'm really looking forward to it, Matt. In Fight Night Picks fashion, let's get into the preview. We're talking about the main card here. And as we always say, Matt, Fight Night Picks, let's get into it. And let's have a look at the first fight of the night. We have the Daywalker. And Matt, if you're an MMA fan and if you're a Fight Night Picks fan, you know the fact that I think this is one of the worst nicknames, in not just MMA, but combat sports in general. Daywalker Rashad Coulter coming in with a 4-0 professional boxing record. Bit of a salty record in terms of MMA. He went 1-3 in his UFC tenure, lost 3 in a row, won his last fight, was ultimately cut from the promotion. He missed weight in that fight, weighing in at 208 total pounds. However, he's now going to be taking on Haseem Rahman Jr. Now, Matt, originally this was supposed to be Vidal Ridley or Riley. We were really looking forward to that fight because, of course, Riley, there's a bit of a built-in storyline having trained some of the bigger, I don't know what you'd call
YouTube
them.
YouTube personalities in the boxing world.
Exactly. So that's kind of the area where they were really going to promote that Vidal-Riley fight. In steps Haseem Rahman Jr. Matt, a lot of people are going to know that name. They might not know the fighter, though. Can you fill us in on that one?
Yeah, so I kind of like how this whole card is based off nostalgia. And for them bringing in a short-notice opponent, it is kind of neat that he does tie into the stories of both guys in the main event. Because, again, Haseem Rahman, he had knocked out Lennox Lewis, and then, of course, he had lost to him afterwards. But he fought all those really top-tier cruiserweights and heavyweights at the time. So the fact that his dad was the guy who not only fought Lennox Lewis twice, but he did knock him out in their first fight. He went on to fight Evander Holyfield, really go on and have a ton of great fights afterwards. So it is really cool that they are kind of tying in an opponent, that the fact that his dad was around in that generation. Rashad Coulter's boxing, if you want a bit of an in-depth analysis, isn't great. Now, I know he did start his boxing career earlier when you look. He did start 3 years earlier. But again, you have to remember, he took a lot of time off in between that to pursue his MMA career. So I don't know if I just look at, oh, he has a bit of boxing experience and think that he has the best chance going into this fight. Because if you look at a lot of what Rashad Coulter does, especially in MMA, he's not the most boxing heavy guy. He will use the clinch, he will use his wrestling, and he is a guy who, some MMA fighters, when you're bringing them into boxing, well, not some, all MMA fighters, you're taking away a lot of their tools. And with Rashad Coulter, it's not like the tools that he has left are like high level boxing tools. Now, you can look at Rahman Jr.'s record. he hasn't fought the best guys out there by any means, but he does have solid wins over guys who have a ton of experience in boxing, and that counts for quite a bit more, I would say, than anything Rashad Coulter's done within those four ropes.
It is a very, very tricky fight to try and get a read on. Again, Rashad Coulter definitely leaning on that expertise and especially the name value, the fact that he has fought in the UFC. Yeah. And while it wasn't the best run, he definitely did fight some notable names. I mean, his first fight was against Chase Sherman, who at the time was the gift king of MMA. And again, if you're a boxing fan or if you're a casual combat sports fan, make sure you check out some of those guys. But overall, the telling sign to me, you've got a much younger fighter in Haseem Rahman coming in at 29 years old, 10 years the junior of Rashad Coulter. I mean, you look at their boxing debuts too. And Rashad Coulter will talk about this. He talked about it in the presser getting ready for that Riley fight, which was, coincidentally, you had the moderator being Ariel Helwani out of the MMA space and the NBA space and the Canadian space like us. But overall, Rashad Coulter kind of leaned on the fact that he got into the whole combat sports game very, very later on in his career. I mean, we're talking he's deep into his 30s when he's finally kind of dipping his toes into the water. So he doesn't really have the miles that a lot of 39-year-olds would have, especially in boxing too. Now, MMA-wise, maybe. I mean, the guy has under 20 pro fights. He only has 4 pro boxing fights. I'm eager to see what we get out of this, especially due to the fact that Rahman Jr. is taking this fight on day's notice. I mean, the weigh-in's tomorrow as we tape this on Thursday.
Rahman Jr. is going to win this without a doubt in my mind. We don't do locks anymore because every time I say I have a lock of the week, it never turns out to work. This would be my lock on a week's notice, he's going to win. You're dealing with an actual boxer who is trained in boxing their whole entire life, and that's all they care about, versus a guy who took a long break away from boxing because he thought he could do MMA better. Now, here's the thing. Haseem Rahman has never had that, oh, I can just leave and do MMA. Boxing's what he's been all in on. And being 9-0, and if you do look at some of the guys we fought, he fought one guy who has like a 20-20 record. Both of his wins and losses are in the 20s. That's just experience. And fighting guys like that show you a lot. Fighting guys like that are better than fighting guys who are 4-0. And I think Rahman Jr.'s got this without a doubt.
I agree with you as well. We're going with the legacy win here for Haseem Rahman Jr. taking this one again on short notice. Our next fight is definitely a very interesting one, as we have Badu the Ripper Jack taking on Blake the Beast McKernan. And a lot of people might be familiar with the fighter on our left hand of the screen. You see it coming out of Sweden. He's represented Gambia on the world stage in the past, coming in with a record of 22-3-3. And Matt Badu Jack, I mean, former WBA champ, former WBC super middleweight champ. He's the WBA light heavyweight champ. He's fought for major titles with different organizations, as tricky as boxing can get, but he's definitely faced a very, very top level of competition. I mean, his last two fights against Jean-Pascal, the Haitian-Canadian sensation. I mean, unless you're Sergey the Crusher Kovalev, who definitely had his number, Jean-Pascal a tough out. Just ask MMA Steve Bosse about that one. But the Marcus Brown fight really put Badu Jack in a bigger light. It's just a light that you didn't really want to have.
And by light, if you mean whatever was shining through his forehead in that fight. Now, that's one of the worst just boxing, really just worst combat sports injuries. You know what? No, I'm going to go even further. That is as bad as like when Paul George snapped his leg. That is that level of injury. Because I really can't stress what it looks like. Like, I don't know if you had any friends who growing up, they were like that one weird kid who did this like special effects makeup. That's what it looks like. Like, you can basically see his skull through his forehead. Not a great view. Now, here's the great news for Badu Jack. He is not fighting someone of that caliber with Blake McKernan. Now, Blake McKernan, a very big guy, a guy you can get excited about as a challenger, but you really do have to ask yourself at the end of the day, is Badu Jack going to lose to a guy like Blake McKernan? And we ask this a lot in MMA, when you have a guy who, they might have been at the top of the division for a very long time, but they're starting to get a few losses, so you're starting to diminish their level of competition. This is a great example of that. When you look at who Badu Jack has fought, especially as of late, yes, he is a little bit older in his career, and he's not the fighter that he once was, but he is still a top, maybe not top tier light heavyweight anymore, but he is still one of the better guys in the division, just a bit of a shallow division. The Adonis Stevenson fight was a really good one too. I know that was a draw, but still, I think that's one that you can go back, because when you're dealing with Adonis Stevenson, not only really the hardest puncher in light heavyweight, but one of the hardest punchers in all of boxing, heavyweight, just any division, pound for pound, I would really consider Stevenson's power up to that level. So for you to even get to a draw in what was a very good fight between those two, that's super impressive. Now, again, the only thing that can lose Badu Jack this fight is himself. And I get it, that's a bit of a loaded statement, but something we see a lot in boxing. Motivation is very hard to come by. I think The Last Dance has shown a light on that that we've never really seen before. For a top-level athlete, motivation is absolutely everything. And for Badou Jack, maybe this is, okay, I'm fighting on the main card of a Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. comeback fight. The co-main event's Nate Robinson, Jake Paul. Maybe he's not taking it all that seriously. Now, I don't believe that is the case, but again, it's something that's a possibility, so I do think we need to bring it up. All that being said, Badou Jack's not going to lose this fight. I can almost guarantee it.
Badou Jack, definitely a notorious slow starter. We've seen that in a lot of his fights. He really mixes things up while going head, body, head. He can really throw some nice combinations. And when he's on and he's pressuring a fighter, he puts on absolute clinics. The thing that really stands out to me is that in this fight, Badou Jack on most sites, a minus 2,000 favorite. Yeah. And to put it into MMA terms, we haven't seen a favorite like that since... Well, last weekend, Valentina Shevchenko went from a minus 1,600 to a minus 2,000 favorite in her title fight against Jennifer Maia. To give you that context, Badou Jack is an absolute huge favorite. He's a former world titleist. And if you have a look over at Blake McKernan's record, I mean, the last guy that he beat, Germán Pérez, 11-4-3 in his last six fights. He had two wins, a draw, and three losses. Then we go back, Joey Montoya, 9-6-3. It's not really the greatest level of competition. And again, Badou Jack representing the money team seems like it's probably a little bit of a layup for Badou Jack. Being a big name, maybe he gets a win here at age 37. You might hang him up, or maybe you compete with this Legends division that is what we have in our main event. You never know. But Badou Jack, definitely the more recognizable guy. Definitely the guy that we're both going to side with in this fight.
Without a doubt, this is a lock. There, I can bring it back for this card just because this card, no one knows it's going to happen. But again, you're dealing with a former champion who, yes, they're a little bit older, but I really doubt that this is going to be the fight where you're like, okay, Badou Jack's going to hang it up. So, yeah, easy pick.
Easy one. Now, here is where the fun starts. In our co-main event of the evening, we have 1-0, the problem child, Logan's brother. We have Jake Paul taking on Kryptonate Nate Robinson. Now, Matt, with full transparency, this is where it's going to get a little bit funky fresh. Because, Matt, I've been a Nate Robinson fan for a very long time. For almost as long as Jake Paul's has been alive. No, maybe not really. But, Matt, I have in front of me a Nate Robinson jersey. From TD Garden in Boston, from way back when Nate Robinson actually played for the Celtics. And listen, if you didn't realize, or maybe you don't know, yes, Jake Paul, YouTuber, he fought Anison Gibb in his pro debut, beat the brakes off poor Anison Gibb, who was trained by Vidal Riley, who was supposed to be on this card. Unfortunately, we don't get Riley against Rashad Coulter. But in this fight, Jake Paul going for a second pro win, taking on the debuting Nate Robinson. And again, might not be familiar with Nate Robinson, slam dunk champion in the NBA. New York Knicks, Boston Celtic. He had a little bit of a run with the Seattle Seahawks. He was thinking of going pro in football. He's ending up in the pro circuit in boxing with no amateur experience. Now, I got to say, Matt, Nate Robinson looks great over on the socials. He really does. He's really committed himself to this fight, and you can't blame him. I mean, you go through the pictures, looking swole, looking good in the training montages, and that's all well and good. The thing for me is, again, as good as you've been training, as fit as you are, does basketball translate to MMA? Does it translate to boxing? Does it translate into the combat sports?
Okay, I'm only going to entertain this because you're asking it for the sake of a video. No, it does not. Now, Craig knows this, but still, of course, basketball doesn't have a lot of transferable skills to MMA. Unless your name's Kendrick Perkins and you're just down to fight everyone every time there's even a little bit of a foul under the rim, you're probably not getting into a lot of fights in basketball. Who's another great one?
Ron Artest.
Serge Ibaka used to throw a lot of hands. Ron Artest, not afraid to get into a fist fight. Nate Robinson was not known as a guy who was real tough around the edges, though, in the league. Nate Robinson was one of those guys that, when your favorite team had him, that was like your guy. I'm a big Raptors fan, so if you understand the reference, like the Raptors had the bench mob a few years ago when it was like Fred VanVleet, Pascal, before they all got really good. Nate Robinson was one of those like veteran bench guys, which is a good guy coming off the bench. Here's my problem. At 5'9" and with only about 180 pounds behind him, it's not like we're dealing with most other NBA players where, for a regular person, their athleticism is just so ungodly and at such another level that the regular human won't be able to deal with it. Yes, Nate Robinson is a much better athlete than anyone I've probably ever met in my whole life, But the issue is, I don't think that the size of him, and I don't think that that athleticism will be enough to get over the hump. Now, I understand the hump we're talking about is Jake Paul, and it's not like he's going out there and fighting Vasily Lomachenko as his, like, comeback fight before the Teofimo Lopez. Jake Paul's actually dedicated himself to boxing, though, and say what you want about him. I don't follow him and his brother all that much, but I do know they cause a lot of trouble. Say what you want about all that. Let's just be honest. It's a guy who's been boxing fairly consistently for the last 2 years, who is in very good shape, versus a guy who has recently got into boxing. And yes, Nate Robinson does seem dedicated to it, but let's say Nate Robinson's been training boxing for ever since this fight got announced, about 3-4 months. That's not going to be enough to make up for the years that he is sort of behind in the Jake Paul when it comes to boxing experience. I do think his athleticism will be able to carry him to a certain point. But again, in basketball, you need fast twitch, and that's really it. Nate Robinson, if he goes out there, yeah, he might have good power for the size of him. But again, he's going to be the undersized athlete of these two. So I just don't know how he can use the advantage in athleticism to really help him in this boxing match.
To me, that's the thing. And with Nate Robinson, if you go back to his draft combine from way back when, his actual height without shoes on is something around 5'7 and 3/4 or so, or 5'7 and a half. So that 5'9 is a little generous on our part, but if you go and look around, most people have him as 5'9. Jake Paul, same thing. Is he really 6'1? I'd have to bring out the measuring tape when I see him. But again, looked pretty good against Anderson Gibb, not a good boxer. I mean, they said that he had power, but not so much. So in this one, Jake Paul coming in a minus 225 favorite. You have Nate Robinson at a plus 180. I'm going with the guy that already has one pro fight under his belt and the guy whose brother has also had a little bit of boxing experience. Now, am I saying by any means is Jake Paul a great boxer? No, he's just very well known. But over Nate Robinson in this spot, yeah, I'm going to go with the 23-year-old Jake Paul.
I'd love to see Jake Paul call out Wiz Khalifa. I don't know if you've ever seen Wiz Khalifa on the mitts, but that guy can throw hands. So maybe I'm already making the rematch in the future. Nate Robinson, call out Damian Lillard. He boxes a lot. So there, I've got both guys' next fight set up. But no, Jake Paul's going to win this. I don't see it being very competitive. It's going to break my heart as a basketball diehard fan. But yeah, Jake Paul's going to beat Nate Robinson. I never thought I'd say that on a video on YouTube, that Jake Paul's probably going to knock out Nate Robinson.
2020, what a weird year. And Matt, you can see there next to us, we are presented by Manscaped. Matt, let's hear a little bit of a word about Manscaped. This is one that I'm really excited about because support for Fight Night Picks is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Now, Matt, we've all been there before. You're using that classic old trimmer that you bought from the big brand store. I know I've been there. And hey, I bought a combo pack. It had the trimmer and it had the nose hair clippers. The nose hair clippers take batteries and they die pretty quickly. And when you're sitting, and I'm a shower guy when I go to shave my nuts, and when you're going with one of those trimmers, A, not waterproof, B, you tend to nick your nuts, and if you nick your nuts in a shower, it can look like a crime scene. And Matt, I'm here to tell you that that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Look at that. So if you're a shower guy, that light, I am not even joking.
It comes in handy.
Now, Matt probably feels a little uncomfortable because I shave my nuts with this, but overall, it works incredibly good. And I wouldn't be talking about a product that I don't actually believe in. These guys really do a great job. And if you go with the perfect package combo, you get the Lawnmower 3.0, you get the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. It's like a salve. It works very, very good. You also get the Crop Reviver Ball Toner. Spritz that on when you need to feel a little fresh. You want a little pick-me-up, you go with that. And Matt, I am telling you, if you really want the greatest nose hair trimmer that you could ever imagine.
Not even close.
They have it. And again, I've had the cheap little ones. You know, you have the manual ones too. You pay, you know, like a couple bucks. You get one. You snag a couple of those hairs. You hurt yourself in your nose. You're really going to be hurting for a while. But I'm telling you, their third generation trimmer, as far as the Lawnmower 3.0 is concerned, features a ceramic cutting edge blade to reduce grooming accidents. And when I tell you that this is premium, I mean it is premium. And the battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. Waterproof technology, it allows you to groom in the shower like Craig Allen does. And you know you want to be like me, right? So overall, one of the coolest features, like I said, LED light. It illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. Your partner will have no idea you're shaving your nuts in the shower like I do. And let's not forget about the charging stand. And Matt, I put it on the charging stand. Matt. It sits there. And overall, it's great. You show off your mower loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is convenient. And the charging dock is powered by USB. And, I mean, you've got a USB charger lying around. I know you do. But overall, it comes with one, too. So if you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Get that bush and tush clean and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FNP at manscaped.com. Make your testies your besties. Help out the boys. I could not be more excited to have Manscaped on board. So get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code FNP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use promo code FNP. Your balls will thank you and so will we. Check them out. Link is below in the description. Help out the boys and I could not be more excited to have Manscaped on board. Check them out. These are two of the most well-known boxers of all time. Mike Tyson with his power and his one-punch knockouts. Roy Jones Jr., some of the best hooks that we've ever seen in combat sports. I mean, listen, Alex Pereira might have something to say these days, but Roy Jones Jr. was absolutely a wild man in his day, and you definitely didn't want to take him on. Now, we talk about the recency of these two guys, and for Roy Jones Jr., I actually watched his last fight live in 2018. It was, It was on UFC Fight Pass. He was taking on Scott Sigmund, who at the time was 30-11-1. He picked up the win there by decision. It was a fight that happened. For Mike Tyson, we haven't seen him since, again, you were 6 years old when he took on Kevin McBride in a weird fight where he just kind of gave up.
He did, and it was weird because he was winning, too, if you go back and watch that fight. But both guys' careers have been less than ordinary, or have just been strange, really, ever since their retirement. And both guys, they did have that sort of post-prime that every boxer just refuses to actually retire for. And for Roy Jones Jr., it was weird, because for him, his chin just left one day. He fought Antonio Tarver, beat him, but he didn't. He lost to him. He had this weird no contest. There was a lot of excuses. Then they had a rematch. And Roy Jones Jr. got knocked out very early. It was kind of odd. He gets KO'd. He gets hit by a shot that he had eaten a lot in the earlier part of his career. And then that was kind of not it for Roy Jones Jr., but that really set him off on this sort of latter half of his career where, let's be honest, Roy Jones has been the more active of these two guys, especially as of late. But it's not like Roy Jones Jr.'s fought the upper echelon. I say the last great fighter who he fought. Now, again, this guy was also way past his prime. He fought Felix Trinidad in 2008. Trinidad, a guy who some of you might know, a really well-known name throughout boxing. He had a lot of great fights with a lot of really, really famous guys, especially in that sort of late 90s, early 2000s range. So he has fought better competition, and I'm just going to boil it down to this. He's been active. Whether or not Roy Jones Jr. has even been fighting the top-level guys, from 2008 until 2018, pretty much, Roy Jones Jr. was an active fighter. Whether or not he was fighting the upper echelon or not, you can see what you want about his level of competition, but Roy Jones Jr. was still in there competing. And that's a lot different than with Mike Tyson, who he was away. He spoke very openly about his personal and, you know, addiction troubles. Now, here's the great thing, though. Mike Tyson seems to be doing phenomenal nowadays, and this has played a massive part into it, I do think. But I'm asking myself, do I think a guy who was boxing not that long ago, who's coming back and getting back into shape, can he beat a guy who I think just got into shape for this? Like, Mike Tyson, the question is he in shape or is he in boxing shape? Because those are two very different answers. If you're telling me Mike Tyson's going to come out here and he comes back with like 70% of the power that he once did, I think there's a chance that he could get carried away and maybe hit Roy Jones on the chin. Now, again, that's a whole bucket of worms for another time.
Let's go into it, Matt. So the rule set that's out there, this is the conversation. It's gone in so many different ways. There was talk of headgear. There was talk of if there's a cut, they end the fight. There was talk of no judges. There was always talk of a belt. It's a little bit of a frontline belt. There's a belt. So you pay your $49.99 US, at the end of the night, you get to see somebody earn a belt, you get to feel good, warm and fuzzy about yourself, and it made a lot of sense to pay for it. To watch us was free. I mean, check out Manscaped, but it was free. So the rules for this, it's a sanctioned bout as an exhibition. It will take place over 8 rounds. They're 2-minute rounds.
Not 3.
The boxers are not going to wear headgear. They're both going to be wearing 12-ounce gloves, If either boxer suffers a bad cut, the bout is over. Who's to say it's a bad cut? Probably Andy Foster and the commission, but it's a bit of a weird one. Three celebrity judges will score the fight remotely in an unofficial capacity, and their winner will be announced, but the fight will not count on either man's professional record. Also want to say, DraftKings is where you're going to get the odds, because it's a weird one. Mike Tyson right now, minus 200 favorite. Roy Jones Jr. coming in a plus 185. Also, from an MMA perspective, Israel Adesanya, to me, is probably the biggest star in our little sport. And Matt, I think this is the perfect opportunity for him to grow into a megastar. Having a commentary gig on this is definitely not a bad thing. And if you're not familiar with him, because again, boxing in our logo, but MMA guys, Israel Adesanya put on an absolute masterclass in his last title defense, taking on Brazil's Paulo Costa, and at the time, both undefeated fighters. Paulo Costa coming in with that thunder. He'd beaten former champs. He had a huge win over Johnny Hendricks, UFC 217. Adesanya looked great. This is only building on an already impressive 2020 for Adesanya. But as a whole, what an entertaining bout. Now, Matt, maybe I didn't pick the best picture, Roy Jones, on the right-hand side. However, he's got the mouth guard in. He's trained him. Mike Tyson looks amazing. I mean, from an MMA perspective, Mike Tyson training for this bout, in part, with MMA's Rafael Cordeiro out of King's MMA. And I found it very interesting, the way that Mike Tyson went about speaking of training with Cordeiro. And I know it was on the Joe Rogan Experience. He kind of went into depth, but it seemed like Rafael Cordeiro really kicked his ass into shape.
Basically, and that is what you want to hear. Now, this is the only concerning thing that I have from this. And it's Mike Tyson said, I'm sure a lot of you guys saw those videos of him hitting the pads and looking thunderous as ever. Here's the thing. He did admit that after that video came out of him throwing those crazy shots, he was in bed for like 2 weeks. He was stiffed up. Like, that's how hard that was for him at that time. Now, that video came out months ago. So the good news is I'm sure he has trained, improved, and gotten better physically since then. But that does concern me a little bit that only a couple months ago, it put him that out of shape just to throw that kind of an explosion. So that concerns me a little bit going into this. Although, granted, it has been a little while. I'm sure he has improved on his conditioning tenfold since then. But still, that's something you might want to watch out for. But also, you can kind of take it the other way. Rafael Cordeiro is probably one of the most respected. He's one of those top five, like, MMA striking coaches. So it doesn't really matter who you are. If you align yourself with him, he is going to make you a better fighter.
And I mean, Rafael Cordeiro, notorious for training world champions. I mean, Fabricio Verdum spent time at King's MMA.
Rafael Dos Anjos. A lot of guys in the MMA world have found success under him. So it's a very smart choice for a guy like Mike Tyson to go to Rafael Cordeiro, who has such a state-of-the-art facility over at King's MMA.
Now, the big question that I have about a fight like this, because there are so many rules that surround it, I want to go through some of them just a little bit. So it is an exhibition bout, and technically in an exhibition bout, you're not really going to get a winner. Now, the one big boxing fight that we've had recently that was a huge exhibition and a huge draw and a bit of a downer for the North American audience, when Floyd Mayweather went over to Ryzen, which is kind of a jack-of-all-trades type organization, but basically a reboot of Pride. And if you're an MMA fan, you know where I'm going to go with it. But Floyd Money Mayweather went over to Japan and fought a young man, very young man, named Tenshin Nasukawa. And in that fight, Floyd Mayweather got the win over Tenshin Nasukawa. And you talk masterclass.
Oh, wow.
Floyd didn't look like he missed a step, a single step. And to really talk about it and put it into context, Tenshin Nasukawa
took a dive.
Is, well, I don't know. But he's a star that maybe you've never heard of. This kid is an absolute superstar. And if you don't know about him, I implore you, please check out Tenshin Nasukawa highlights after this video. All that to say, it was a weird fight. Do you have a winner? Do you not? Floyd won, so there is that. So, an exhibition bout, you don't really have any winner. You have three celebrity judges. They're going to put a belt around somebody. The other stipulations of this fight really caused me some issues. So, if there's a bad cut, the bout's over, and there's not headgear, and there's going to be 12-ounce gloves. Both of these guys have said they're going out there for the win. Do you expect these guys to just go in their first round and just hammer away and we see a wild fight or no?
If you think that, don't spend your money on this because it's not what you're going to get. These are two guys who do have to fight for 8 rounds. Do you really think either guy in their head thinks, okay, I'm going to go out there, throw one big flurry and just be exhausted for 7 rounds? Because that's how I want to be remembered to the younger generation now. No, I think both guys are going to play the long game. I think this is basically grudge match if it was in real life. You have two guys who have no business fighting each other, but they are going to end up fighting each other. Now, I have one question that's outside the rules. What if someone lands a body hook? Like, if Roy Jones Jr. decides, okay, I'm going to start throwing left hooks to the body on Mike Tyson, I catch his liver and he goes down, is the ref really going to stop it immediately? Or will the ref actually give Mike Tyson a chance to get up off the floor and kind of come back? Because if you get hit in the liver, it's not like a life-threatening injury. You're going to be okay. It feels like it's going to end your life, but you will be okay. And that's very different than taking a lot of brain trauma, especially at the age that both of these guys are at. So that's my one big question. If anyone lands a big enough body shot, A, do we see a knockdown? And what version of a knockdown do we see? Are we going to get a count or anything? Do the celebrity judges know that in boxing, the second there's a knockdown, you're supposed to deduct a point? Probably not, but I think this is simple. I really do think Captain Hook, old Roy Jones Jr., y'all must have forgot. There's a lot of other nicknames. I think he was called Superman, too. Roy Jones Jr. is probably going to get that belt tied around his waist. He's the fresher of the two. That's never a good sign when both guys are 50 that I'm mentioning that, but he is the fresher of the two guys. He's been in there recently. And again, Mike Tyson, I have this real question of, is he only doing this because he kind of realizes what he is at this stage in his life? He's become a caricature of what he once was. And is he just doing this to be like, haha, guys, I'm kind of poking fun at myself? Or does he really think he's going to come out here and knock out Roy Jones Jr.? Both are a possibility, and that's what makes this fun.
Matt, I mean, you can see it up there on screen, left hook CBD. Roy Jones was the type of guy that trained to get one bicep bigger so he could throw harder hooks. You know how insane that sounds? That's like if you had Quagmire and he walks out of his house and you know what he found on the internet. You remember that little meme, the little meme? That was Roy Jones Jr. in real life, punching guys and knocking them out. And this is a guy that started his career in the lower weight classes. He was a middleweight champ. He was a light heavyweight champ. He was a cruiserweight. He was a heavyweight.
That kind of ruined his career, so let's not talk about that.
But he was a heavyweight champ of the world. That's where this gets really interesting, because with Iron Mike Tyson from 1987 to 1990, he was a unified heavyweight champ. And listen, it gets a little tricky, especially when you're talking boxing, especially with the different sanctioning bodies that you do have. But at the time when he was fighting some of the biggest names in the sport, Larry Holmes, Tony Tubbs, Michael Spinks, and ultimately it was good old Buster Douglas that ended that run. He was the WBA, WBC, and IBF heavyweight champ, and then they threw in the ring heavyweight title as well. Now again, boxing these days gets a little tricky. You have your frontline champs, you have your premier champs. But this fight is so interesting, just as an exhibition bout, because we get to talk about these things. You have a 54-year-old Mike Tyson taking on a 51-year-old Captain Hook Roy Jones Jr. Now, Matt, you've already said that you're siding with Roy Jones Jr. Again, I wouldn't say sizable underdog, but at a plus 185, that is a half-decent underdog.
If you think I'm putting money on this, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's where this gets really tricky, because again, DraftKings is involved, there's odds, but there's not. Again, we're Fight Night Picks. We make predictions. I have to side with Roy Jones Jr. as well. I mean, again, 3 years younger, does that play a huge difference? Not so much. Roy Jones Jr., more miles on the tank, I guess. I mean,
I don't think anyone has more miles on their tank than Mike Tyson. Like, Allen Iverson might come close, but they're 1A and 1B.
That's the thing. I mean, with Roy Jones Jr., as fighting as recently as 2018, he's a guy that's always been a part of the sport. He definitely has some good digs with the commentary gig that he has. And he's a very, very articulate speaker in terms of the sweet science. Not to say that Mike Tyson isn't. I do enjoy the Hot Boxing Podcast. So you know who's not going to get shine this week? Shouts to Evan Britton with the Hot Boxing Podcast.
There you go.
Let's give him a little bit of shine. But it is a good show. Overall, though, I am really looking forward to this card. I think it should be a great one. You got this fight between Mike Tyson. You've got a really interesting co-main event with Jake Paul taking on Nate Robinson. You got Badu the Ripper Jack taking on Blake McKernan. And in the fight kicking off this main card, Haseem Rahman Jr. coming in on short notice to replace Vidal Riley, taking on the Daywalker, the worst nickname in combat sports, Rashad Coulter.
If this just ends with Rockman's dad coming back and being like, I'm calling out the winner, and then that sets up the next event. I'm getting ahead of ourselves.
He fought Lennox Lewis. So overall, it is a great card. I'm really looking forward to it. Matt, let's take this one full circle. It should be a very entertaining night of fights. You have the UFC. Derek Lewis is taking on a really tough out, and Curtis Blaydes over there. But again, boxing really getting the shine this Saturday night. Make sure you check it out. Hey, you can also follow us at Fight Night Picks over on Instagram. We have predictions. We have all sorts of new stuff, including the latest edition, the greatest edition of This Week in MMA, set to drop next week. So keep it locked in with Fight Night Picks, Matt. And as we always do say, let's get into it.